So we want to thank you for joining us this evening in our Monday morning. I said Sunday evening.
Yeah, it is.
So we're recording this on Sunday evening. It's not live. So our Monday morning conversation. And so thank you for joining us. And we do hope that the Lord's been at work in your life. We hope that, that you're responding to Him. And so this week our question is me reading and Brother Paul answering because it's the Trinity.
There you go.
So
good
He's the pastor, so I'm going to let him handle this. All right, so the question this week, how many persons are there in God? The answer, three persons are in the one true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are the same in substance and equal in power and glory. And so the memory verse that comes after that, 2 Corinthians 13:13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, 2 Corinthians 13:13. So we're going to deal with some questions this evening, Brother Paul, in relationship to that. And as I was getting these questions ready, and we tried to have three or four or five, and it was really hard to muster out a whole lot of different questions about this.
So, well, there's a lot of questions we could ask,
right,
you know, about the Trinity.
Right. And talk all night about
that's right. We can talk and philosophize, but, you know, I want to stick to God's Word.
And so I didn't try to put the square peg into the round hole. There's two questions, and there's two lines of thought that we want to walk through tonight. So the first one is this. What are some distinctives about the Trinity that Christians need to understand?
All right. Well, I mean, I think as we look at even this question and answer, I mean, I think the distinctives are right there.
Right.
And that the first is there is one God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear the Shema, you know, of the Israelite people, you know, we find there in Deuteronomy, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one.
Right.
And so oftentimes when we talk about the Trinity, and in fact, even, you know, Muslims and others, one of the things that they will really cast aspersions toward Christians, you know, saying that, well, they believe in three gods.
Right.
We do not believe in three gods. There is one God.
Yes.
The creator of heaven and earth. And we've been talking about that. You know, last week we talked about who is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we think about who God is and how he reveals himself and how we interact with him, there is one God who is three persons.
Right.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we want to make that distinction right off the bat. There aren't a bunch of gods. There aren't three.
Right.
All right. There's one God who is three persons. And then, and why do we, the word Trinity, you know, a lot of, and you'll hear this with those who are not Trinitarian. And we want to understand also the doctrine of the Trinity has been around for a long time.
Right.
It's explicitly laid out in the New Testament, this idea. In fact, we're reading it, and it says 2 Corinthians 13:13, but actually, in the CSB is 13:14.
Okay.
We have a little bit of a typo in our book here. But, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We've been working through 1 John on Sunday mornings. And in 1 John, you know, we read about the Father.
Yes.
Well, how do we come to the Father? We believe in the Son. We believe in the one who the Father sent. The only begotten, the only one who came from God was Jesus Christ, the Son. And so he came to this earth. He condescended. He came to this earth. He became flesh. He walked among us. Well, how do we know that we're in the Son? How do we know that we're saved? Well, one of those things was that we have this anointing from God. We have the life of God living in our souls. Who is the Holy Spirit? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. There in John 14:15-16, what did he say? He said, it's better for you if I go away.
Right.
The Lord Jesus Christ still has a body.
Yes.
All right. God is spirit.
Yes.
And so God is spirit. The Father cannot be looked upon in the same way as the Son can be looked upon. And so the Son still has a body, a glorified body.
Yes.
Okay. He is not omnipresent in the same way. I mean, God is omnipresent.
Right.
But God has condescended to meet with us and interact with us in the Son.
Right.
And so the Son interacts with us, but the Son now is exalted.
Yes.
And so he's enthroned in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. We experience his presence, but we experience his presence in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, who lives within us. And so we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each one of them have a purpose. Each one of them have a role in God's interaction and revelation of himself to man. And there is coming a day, and this is, I don't want to get to, remember we said we weren't going to go too far.
Right.
All right. But there's coming a day, according to 1 Corinthians 15, you know, after the resurrection, all those things where the Son is going to submit himself to the Father,
right.
All right, and God will be all in all.
Yes.
Now,
what is that?
We're leaving that alone.
Right.
That's as far as we're
right.
going. That's as far as Paul went. All right, that's as far,
exactly.
as, that's as, far as we're going to go.
Exactly.
But we're going to be one with him.
Right.
You know, there in the New Jerusalem, you know, the new heaven, new earth. And so we're going to be one there with him, but the oneness we enjoy is in the Spirit.
Right.
Okay, so I'm joined with the Father through my faith in the Son. I'm in the Son. When the Father looks at me, he
yes.
sees the righteousness of his Son. I enjoy the union that I have
yes.
with God the Father through the Son, and I enjoy that union in the power and the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings in my life. And that's a lot. And I say, well, what
yes.
do we really need to know? Well, what we need to know is right here.
Exactly.
Okay. There is one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So three persons, one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right. And so to be clear about this first part,
mm-hmm.
like when the Old Testament saints and even in the Gospels, when
yes.
they saw God,
mm-hmm.
they saw him in Jesus.
Yes. Well, we say Jesus, the Son. They saw
right.
the Son.
The embodied
you know,
form.
The embodied
right.
form.
Yes.
When we talk about Jesus, you know, Jesus is the name that God the Son received.
Right. Yes.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so we, even in our confession, when we confess Jesus Christ is Lord,
right.
that is the confession of the Christian church.
Right.
We're saying this literal man
yes.
who lived 2,000 years ago, who was born to Mary, okay, was God's Son.
Yes.
And so when we say Jesus, we're remembering his humanity.
Right.
All right. When we say Christ, we're remembering his purpose
yes.
and his anointing. And then when we say the Lord, what are we?
Mm-hmm.
We're remembering and we're acknowledging his divinity.
Right.
And so Jesus Christ is Lord. So,
yes.
so yes, in the Old Testament, we call this the pre-incarnate Son.
Right.
You know, and so
yes.
in the Old Testament, I mean, you think about these, what we call theophanies or whatever it might be, Moses in the burning bush, you know, burning bush, as he's being spoken to. Well, who's speaking to him? Well, is this God? Yes, this is God.
No doubt.
No doubt. But because of progressive revelation, what we know
yes.
from our the revelation of God in the New Testament
yes.
in Christ, we know that, that was the Son speaking.
Right.
You know, God has condescended to meet with
yes.
Moses. There's this, we read about Moses going into the tent
mm-hmm.
and talking with God as one man speaks with him. Now, we don't understand what all that means.
Right.
We know when Moses came out, his face was glowing.
It was different, yes.
It was
different.
But we also know that he was not in the manifest presence of all of the glory of God.
Right.
Because there was another time when Moses...
God spoke to him about that already.
Yes, and he said, I've got to hide you in the clefts. I've got to
right.
put my hand
yes.
over you and let my glory pass by. You're not able... If you see my glory, you'll die.
Right.
And so whenever God condescends to meet with man,
mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when he met with Abraham. Remember when he came
right.
and spoke to Abraham
right.
About Sarah having a child,
yes.
you know, that next year, and spoke to Abraham about him destroying Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go on and on. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, when God, and sometimes this is in the form of the angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But we'd have to go through every one of those
right.
passages.
Deep dives.
We'd have to deep dive on every one of those. But yes, so we have, in the Old Testament, you have God, all right, God the Father,
mm-hmm.
you have the Son, all right, as God is interacting, all right, as one man
mm-hmm.
interacts with another, this is the Son, God has condescended
mm-hmm.
in the Son to meet with man. And then you also have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament coming upon the prophets and then
right.
prophesying and all those things. David even, in some way, has this anointing from God as king.
Yep.
And remember in Psalm 51, what does he say? Do not take
your spirit
right. from me. Okay.
Yeah.
That was the blessing of God,
yeah.
the wisdom of God was in the Spirit. And then this week, I mean, our Bible verses this week are awesome. I mean, we look at Matthew 3. John, this morning, I went with a group. We walked through John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 14,
yeah.
and you know, in the beginning was the Word. And we're talking about Christ. And the Word, that Logos, all right, the power of God, the wisdom of God is all, you know, that's what, when we say the Word, that's what we're saying. We're talking about Christ. Christ is the embodiment. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All right, so you've got this idea of fellowship,
yeah.
and yet also distinction.
Yes.
So in the beginning was the Word was with God, but then the Word was God. So our mind, our minds are blown. Yes. But he also goes, there's nothing that was created that wasn't created by him. Right. So that kind of blows out the whole Jehovah's Witness theory. You know, Jesus is the first created being and all those things. I mean, if we read that,
right.
I mean, if nothing was created, it wasn't created by Christ, I mean, by the Son.
Right.
So that means Jesus is God's agent in creation. All right. Jesus is the literal embodiment of the wisdom and the power of God. And of course, we go to Colossians chapter 1. I mean, it's just throughout. And so it's just, anyway, we're going on too long about that.
Right.
But I mean, we could just go on all night. It's everywhere.
Right. Because ultimately, the heart of this question, there are some things that you have to believe in the God of the Bible.
Yes.
The Trinity is one of those things. And
how he expresses
himself. You have to believe that it is laid out exactly how he lays it out. But then there are some secondary things that would come into that. We're not going to get into it.
No,
I'm going to say it, but we're not going to get into it. Like the eternal submission of the Son.
Yes.
You know, there are debates that go on about that.
Yes, yes.
But you have to believe that we serve one God. That word, that God manifests himself in three beings. But as the second part of this says, they're the same in substance, equal in power and glory.
Yes.
And so that is the distinctive of what we must believe about the Trinity in order to biblically believe the Trinity.
Yes.
And so then question two, what is the danger of getting the doctrine of the Trinity wrong?
Well, there are many dangers. I mean, the danger of not believing what God has said about himself.
Yes.
That's kind of a big deal.
Right.
Okay, God has revealed himself. And so where do we get our knowledge about God? We've already talked about that. We get it from his word.
Right.
We get it from what God has already spoken, what he has revealed. If God had not revealed himself in his word, we would not be able to know him,
right.
To truly know him. And his redemptive purposes, his plan of redemption and reconciliation with this lost world is totally 100% worked out through the Trinity.
Yes.
I mean, we already talked about that.
Right.
You know, this idea that God would send this one to this earth who would be both God and man.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one who came from God was Adam, all right, who was man, but Adam sinned. And the second one who came from God was outside the lineage of Adam in terms of nature.
Right.
And so he came bearing the nature, the image of the one true God. And so if we don't believe in the Trinity, okay, then there's no distinction between God the Father and God the Son. And so how does this work? You understand?
Right.
I mean, God has laid it out in his word to show us that God so loved the world that he gave...
Right.
His only begotten Son. And we say, okay, well, he gave his Son. Well, he knew he was going to be raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're not really comprehending.
Exactly.
Jesus is the treasure of heaven.
Yes.
I mean, he is.
Right. John 4.
Yes.
John from heaven, seeing this eternal view.
Yes.
You know, there was a lamb in heaven
that
was worthy to take
Revelation
away. 4. Yeah, Revelation. I'm sorry. I don't know what
said John 4, but it's all right.
Sorry, God Revelation 4.
Yes.
There is this Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
He's able to open the scroll.
In eternal heaven that John was allowed to see.
Yeah, there's a scroll that needs to be opened.
Right.
And there's none worthy.
Right.
There's none worthy in heaven. Now, God's the one who wrote the scroll.
Exactly.
This is the plan of God. Well, who's the only one worthy to open it? Well, it's only one who is God.
Right.
Okay. But he also has won the right.
Right.
See, there's this idea that he's not only God, but he's also our champion.
Yes.
And so we needed God to champion our salvation.
Right.
He's the only one who could do it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes and he is God, but he's God who has condescended. He's humbled himself. He's become man. He walks among us. He defeats temptation and sin utterly, completely in his life and then pays for the sins of everyone else in his death.
Right.
And so who's worthy? The Lamb who was slain is worthy to open the scrolls, to take the scrolls and open the scrolls. In other words, to bring about God's plan.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. We think about the scrolls, it's just judgment, just, you know, no. The scrolls, this is God's plan for reconciling the world, you know, to redeeming the world.
Yes.
And so, yes, is there hellfire and damnation? Yes, there's the wrath of God, but the Lamb suffered the wrath on our behalf.
Right.
And so it's just, it's glory. So that idea, and then when Jesus dies, okay, he dies, he's raised from the dead, he's then exalted, he not only is the rightful heir to the throne, because he's the Son of God, all right, and the Son of David, all right, in the flesh. And so, but he has overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he takes the throne, not just on this earth, but where does he go?
In heaven.
He takes the throne in heaven. And then he sends his spirit.
Yes.
Adam and Eve died. They lost the life of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They gave it away because of their sin. And we're redeemed. Okay. When we turn to Christ in faith, when we believe on the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, as Peter said in that very first Christian message, we receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now.
Right.
So you've got the Father. All right, sending the Son. You have the Son, who's now in heaven, and the Father sending the Spirit.
Yep.
What does the Spirit do?
Takes up residence in
us. He takes up residence. So the life of God is given back to man, those who are redeemed, who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit who lives in us sanctifies these old dirty vessels of sin so that we can be used for His glory.
Yep.
And so the life of God is restored to the soul of man.
And Jesus even told the disciples, in the middle to end of John, it's better for you that I go away.
And that makes no sense to us. We're like, no, Jesus, we want you to stay here because if we're getting a boating accident, you know what? You'll calm the waters.
Right.
If we get hungry, you know, you'll feed the 5,000.
Right.
If I get sick, you'll heal me. You know, whatever it might be. If I need help, you'll tell me.
Right.
Okay, well, that's all wonderful. But these things must take place.
Right.
So that the way can be open to all. And that we could receive the Spirit.
Right.
And be born of the Spirit. And so the Spirit is deposited. He's a guarantee. He's our helper. He's our counselor. Mm-hmm. Our empower. Mm-hmm. All those things. And it's through the Spirit that we enjoy the union that we have with the Father in Christ.
Right.
And so you just can't. So what's the danger? There's all kinds of dangers in discounting to say, okay, this. The Spirit isn't it, you know, which is often said in churches because we don't really know how to relate to the Spirit. So we say, you know, we talk about the Spirit as an it, as if it's an impersonal force. No, the Spirit is a He.
Right.
He is a person.
Yes.
He can be grieved, you know, and so the Spirit is, you know, we can quench or we can push Him away. And so in that way, this is the Spirit of God living inside of us. And so there's many different reasons why it's dangerous for us to think any other way. And a lot of people want to dumb it down to something that they can really understand.
Right.
And God's ways are higher than our ways.
Right.
And we want to use it's like water.
Yeah, the pine.
Water, vapor, you know, and all these things. They're all the same compound, H2O. You know, and that's all fine, but you're trying to use a metaphor or an illustration that is totally earthly.
Right.
And you're trying to apply that to one who is out of this world and transcendent. And so we believe these things by faith in what God's revealed of Himself in the Word.
And so ultimately at the end of the age,
the
end of Revelation, not the end of John,
the
Spirit and the Bride stay calm.
Come on, that's right. Yeah.
And so stay calm to those who have desired to know the God of the Bible in truth.
Yes.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and have endured to the end.
Yes.
And so
awesome.
So it is important. And we do appreciate you guys for joining us today. And hope that you have a good week. Hope that you seek to serve the Lord and glorify Him. And if you are looking at this for the first time, if you would like and subscribe so you can help us get it out to more people, we'd appreciate it. And so thank you so much for being with us today.
And also don't forget, down in the description, you'll find there our weekly Bible study. You can find it there, you know, with our question and answer and readings that will support the things that we're speaking about. And you can read those with your family. That is ultimately our goal.
Right.
That we see families being raised up who glorify and honor the Lord. God bless you. You have a
great week.